Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
You didn't get a heel turn last night, but tonight may be a different story. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host from the award-winning WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt. That is Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat, and we also have Georgia Wrestling History's Larry Goodman of GWHNews.com. And I guess we should acknowledge WrestleMania 29 happened, and but we've got a lot more than that to talk about tonight, I guess.
A lot of stuff close to home.
Indeed. So we have former Anarchy owner Jerry Palmer will be calling in a few minutes. And he, of course, will talk a little bit about Hardcore Hell. And he is no longer in the picture as far as Anarchy's concerned. But he was part of the show or part of Anarchy still when Old School Wrestling Alliance started doing their shows a few months ago. And I guess we heard from Clint Eller back in December. And there's been a lot of discussion on GWHNews.com and Facebook and probably other places that I haven't seen about the fact that OSWA ran head-to-head with Hardcore Hell a couple weeks ago. So Jerry Palmer asked if he could call in and just kind of give his side of how things went down with when they met with the OSWA guys a few months ago. So we will indulge him. And then later in the show, we're going to address another hot topic in local wrestling, which is Rampage Pro Wrestling. I guess this wave of talk kind of started with something you posted, Larry. Of course, you know, a lot of things have been changing. What has it been now, almost a year since Jimmy Rave was?
Yes, it was. It was last summer.
But this current topic started with your post about their TV show. I guess 3 shows ago now it was.
Yeah, the previous taping. Right. Actually, that was 4 weeks ago. That when the first show from that taping aired with the Sheik on commentary.
Right. And we've talked about it a lot here. And then Anthony Velvet Jones posted his thing. And then I think everybody after that voiced an opinion on Facebook or elsewhere. So Murder One and former Josh Wheeler, he was not a ring announcer, right? He was a commentator.
He was commentator, right.
He did Rampage Radio and various other things. So the two of them are going to call and talk about that, as well as you had some things from their past you want to talk about, Larry, right?
Yeah, I wanted to ask them a little bit about their PWE run for old-timers in Georgia independent wrestling scene.
Right. So that's what we have coming up tonight. Larry, did you make it out to any events this weekend?
I did. I made it to my cousin's kid's opera where he played King Zeus. So
what was the work rate like on that show?
Well, you know, actually the kids did some pretty good selling there, you know. It actually wasn't bad, but you know, so unfortunately though, no, that had to do for my entertainment for the weekend and entertaining my mama who's in town. So no wrestling for me.
All right. Well, I believe Matt made it to some local wrestling.
Yeah, I was at PWR on Friday night for their 7th anniversary. It was a bit different show than I think they'd kind of been advertised. I think they had a run of bad luck with a few people who couldn't quite make it, so they kind of had to scramble. They had a long Royal Rumble to open the thing up, which saw returning Ryan Michaels win it. And as is often the case with the Rumble in PWR, if you win, you get to challenge whatever champion you'd like. And he challenged Zach Daniels for a match that basically happened right after intermission. You know, you're kind of like, well, that's not the maybe not the brightest move for a guy that just went, you know, 30, 40 minutes in a rumble to go have a championship match. But Daniels was also in the match, so they're kind of on equal footing in that regard. But as we found out, it didn't matter much because there was about a 3 to 4 minute, maybe a 5 minute wrestling match that ended in a finger poke of doom, as it was called out. Actually called the spot in the middle. Hey, it's the finger poke of doom. And it was Michaels kind of turning his back on his old buddy Matt Sales, and then there was a women's match that I won't go much into. I just won't go much into it. And then a four-way ladder tag title match, which you could imagine how that went. It culminated in a destroyer through kind of on this makeshift table that Matt Sales took from Supernatural, and the zombie, the undead luchadors retained. But in the middle of that, one of the luchadors tried for a dive from the ladder to the floor, and he was intercepted by the top rope. So that was that. But their big announcement this week was they're moving actually to Sundays, I think 3 p.m. So, you know, they're in some flux there, as we kind of hinted on last week on the show with Zach Daniels. So things aren't quite stable there, so they're trying to find their footing, as it would seem.
Are they staying at the same venue or moving?
They are staying at the same venue. That was kind of up in the air for a bit, but they are going to keep that same venue. They're going to try to gussy the place up a bit. And, I forgot to mention that, you know, it was kind of public knowledge that they did have some issues with the city, you know, and taking care of some things. And as they worked those out, that kind of made its way into the storyline. And they did have a character who is from the city who comes in and tries to shut down the fun of PWR. Well, he was in the Rumble, and he got in. I don't even think he made it into the ring, got clocked, and then fell out. Well, I guess being an unexperienced wrestler, he forgot to hit the apron, went straight to the floor, and found his arm on the particle board stairs. So with a, ended up with a nasty gash. But he seemed to be okay because he was out kind of glad-handing with the fans later on, which I didn't quite understand. But, hey, maybe that bump knocked something loose out of him.
I'm curious, Matt, why you're reluctant to go into the women's match.
It was an abomination.
Oh.
It was bad. It's very bad. I'm not 100% sure one of the participants was a woman. That's okay. Fine. And it did end with the alleged woman and Quasimendisco kind of rolling around in the ring in something that left way too much not to the imagination. I saw a lot more than I wanted to. And after that, Saturday I was at UIW. It was a solid show. They kept some momentum from, you know, that big 16th crowd, which was, they were much lauded for, and, you know, this war with Peach State seems to have sparked off and kind of who's drawing what. Some of that kind of started here, I guess, with Mike Jackson announcing that the main criteria for what is a good wrestling show is how many people you have in the building, and so that kind of kicked off, and, you know, UIW drew pretty well, and Peach State didn't do what they usually did, and, you know, it was a pretty good show. A really good women's match, Pandora and Darcy Dixon, turned in a good, solid match. And then the end, you had the Empire and the Asphalt Castle was another, you know, just plain Jane, nothing fancy. Let's just go out here and wrestle. Everybody did what they should do. Nice-looking match. And then, as we alluded to with Bull Buchanan, we kind of hinted that he might want to watch us back with Murder One. He should have taken our advice because they did win their tag match. But Murder One gave him the cutter and announced that he was coming for his title. So Murder One, back to his old tricks, and you had that.
Did you hear anything about how Peach State did as far as attendance? I heard the number I got from Stan Robinson for UIW was 180, but I haven't heard anything from Peach State.
I have heard it was about that, plus or minus 20. It definitely was not what they're accustomed to doing, put it that way. So I don't know if finally the moving has caught up with them, if it's time of year, what it is. So that's unusual for Peach State. And frame the argument to be that if you're the guys who tout what numbers you draw as the thing that you point to, if your numbers aren't there, then people are going to start asking questions. But, you know, they don't seem to be in panic mode. They haven't know, just kind of scrapped everything and tried everything, and maybe things have moved a little faster than they wanted to, but that's where they are now. That's what the numbers bear out. So there seems to be, you know, about an audience of around 400 to 500 in that West Georgia area on a given Saturday night for wrestling, and used to Peach State dominated it, and it's kind of they're spreading out a little bit now. The people are kind of picking their spots a little bit more. So I look for that to keep things interesting out there for a while, because I don't think that the Peach State folks are going to sit back on their laurels much longer and let it go on.
Well, guys, I believe we have our first guest, former Anarchy Wrestling owner Jerry Palmer.
Hello.
Jerry, is that you?
Yeah, is that you?
That's me. This is Jonathan. You're on with Matt Hankins and Larry Goodman as well.
Hi, guys. How's it going, Larry?
Matt, going all right.
Going?
Good.
God, mate, one of you guys sounded just like JT Talent for a minute. I was like, what the hell is he doing on?
That's probably Matt.
Yeah, it was. It has to be. How's everything going?
So far, so good.
Good.
I hear you.
That's pretty interesting, Jerry. Got a black guy who sounds like JT Talent. That's
I'm a man of many voices, Larry. This is my job.
You know, we're all God's creatures, and we're all brothers in one way or another. So it doesn't surprise me. You just have to make sure that he knows he sounds like you, so he doesn't do anything stupid and get you blamed for it.
I will work on that.
Guys, before we start, just remember, I'm on a detail right now, so if something crazy happens, I may have to cut short, but if I do, this is what we got to say tonight, especially my first part. If I don't get finished, I'd love if you'd have to kind of have me back again maybe next week to finish what we're talking about, and then I'll try not to babble, but just so you know, if in the event I have to cut short, just know that I'm on a detail right now, so maybe it won't happen. We've been kind of quiet, basically. You never can tell.
Well, I guess we should just get right into it then. Of course, there's been a lot of talk online about OSWA choosing to run head-to-head with Hardcore Hell a couple weeks ago. And I think that's particularly you wanted to address that as well as...
Sure, sure. And you know, I didn't... And I guess being out of it and changing my focus, you know, and I went from more of a promoter and an owner to a worker. I won't go as far as say talent. I'll go with worker. I didn't really know a lot of that was going on, and I kind of know all the players involved. But the more I got into this and got to listen, I was pretty shocked that it had come to this. So what I did was, and if you guys don't have an objection to it, someone had sent me an exchange, an email exchange between Clint and a couple of the guys, and I really just use that for the basis of what I really want to say about it, so that, you know, I want to stay on point and keep emotions out of it and personal thoughts out of it and just really try to shed a little bit of light, because I know all the parties involved. I might be one of the few people that knows both sides of this bunch. And so if you don't mind, I'll go that route and tell you what I got and give you my spiel on it, and from somebody who's been on both sides of this fence, and, you know, maybe – our experiences from the past can help us teach the ways of the future, I hope. Now, I don't know, but all I can do is give it a shot and try to throw a little bit of cold water on this fire before it gets to be a full-blown three-alarm fire. I mean, it's just because it's heading that way. If Danny only could make it back from Afghanistan, we'd probably have to go bail him out.
Yeah. Even from Afghanistan, our former co-host has a huge influence on our show.
Yeah, he's pretty hot about it, and that's just people's emotions, and it shows their love for the business and the sport. And, you know, when people are connected that way, you know, and this angle that we just finished up, you know, proof is there. You don't fight any harder with anybody than you do people you feel like are your family or should be your family. And this is what this is. This is no different. And before I start, I'm not asking anyone to take my word for any of the stuff I may say, and most of it is just purely my opinion. But anything that I say is either my opinion or people are welcome to check out what I say. You know, I'm certainly not the gospel on this. I'm just basically right now kind of an outside view here. But back in September, there was an email exchange with Stephen Platinum and Clint. And it was in September of 2012. And it starts out fairly benign. Hey, bro, so-and-so told me you might could help me out. And I am starting a wrestling show in Cornelia, Georgia. I wrestled under the name Highlander, Johnny Walker, for nearly 18 years all over Georgia, but mainly Marietta. I have a few trainees, but we're looking for workers on the first and third Saturdays each month. If you're interested, I would love to chat. Now, you know, it starts out first, taking that part of it. It's all I'm starting this show. I have trainees. I have, me personally, I've never heard of Highlander, no offense. But there's no mention of Bobby Popham, who is the promoter and the building owner. And Bobby, let me say, is getting a black eye over this. And to my knowledge, has not weighed in on this. So I'm thinking, knowing him like I do, and we're not, you know, we don't have dinner with each other, but I know him enough to know the guy's a pretty cool-headed, pretty disciplined guy. I mean, he's a very accomplished martial artist, and, you know, so he may be inadvertently getting a little bit of a black eye by association. So anyway, so Steve Platinum's response was, you're running a show in the same town as Anarchy. Oy vey. Not sure that's a smart move. Now, that is a very nice way for Steve, and it's a sign of a professional, and kudos out to Steve Platinum. You know, Steve, people can call him, and I think I do a little later on in what I wrote down here. He's eccentric, but you know what? He's been to me the whole time, and as far as I know, everybody else, and I'd have to say that this would probably be true because we share a roster with Anarchy shares a roster with Platinum. And that's why, because he's been professional all along. And I understand Clint took offense to Steve's blog. I think it's called Full Disclosure, and basically indicated that Steve needed to leave him out of his future articles because he had a reputation to protect. Well, maybe a little late for that, and I'm not sure what we're protecting at this point. He made the statement to Steve that in a different, I think, an instant message, and I don't have a copy of it, so I can be off a little bit, but basically that you know, nobody wanted Clint on their bad side, and they didn't believe that they could ask Murder One. Now, when Murder comes on a little later on, I understand he had quite the Murder One turn in his last show. So, you know, he's probably healed up pretty well right now, and I mean H-E-E-L healed up and ready to go. But I doubt very seriously that there's a lot of truth in that. I find that to be a little bit amusing, a little bit brave, because, you know, I have known people to tangle up with Murder, and it's kind of hard to get untangled with him if you make him mad. So I'd be a little cautious probably if I were Clint on that. And there are a lot of guys, you know, that are out there now saying the same thing to him. But my, you know, my warning is, and it's not a threat or anything, but really keep on picking at Franklin Dove and keep on picking at Bill Behrens and his posse. And what will happen is Franklin will continue to handle it in a business manner. That's what he does. But, you know, Bill has the ability to lock down virtually every piece of talent in his care. And in our locker room, or the locker room at Anarchy, they're very protective. And sometimes that's misconstrued as different things, but they're very protective. They're protective of the business, not just their locker room. They're protective of the business. And it can give those cats over there that are working that show, it can get them out of the business before they ever break into it. So there's a lot of, you know, Clint speaking. I know he's speaking on emotion, and I think I got it figured out. And I sympathize with him, and I'm not mad. And, you know, he goes on to say that I was an asshole, and I'll go on later to tell you, yes, I was, and I'll tell you why. And I think everybody will understand. I even think Clint will understand. But, you know, don't get mad at Steve Platinum when he acts in a professional manner and he tells you the truth. Yeah. You know, his example of professionalism and cooperation, you know, it shows how it works. Even before Anarchy went to a second force, Steve had shows that ran on the same time frame a lot of times that Anarchy did, and we still managed to share a roster. It worked then. It's working now with Steve because even though, again, some people view him as eccentric, he's a professional and a businessman. And that's what professionals do. And they're smart. They align together. I mean, because we're all doing the same thing in essence. We're all trying to better, you know, and wrestling, I'm telling you, is you know, some days it's on a ventilator. I mean, it's really has some the economy has kicked it in the head, you know, I mean, because people are giving up entertainment and personal pleasures, and, you know, they're starting to come back in. But, you know, we'll just have to see how that works. And he goes on to say, Anarchy's not even filling their building. Last show I saw 2 months ago, there were maybe 60 paid. Well, you know what? There are days like that in any business. I viewed as they must have been saving their money because they seemed to certainly show up last week in force. And, you know, I would say from what I've been hearing about their show, they would truly take 60 paid over the 30 freebies. You know, it cashes in better at my bank. I'll just put it to you like that. He goes on to say they're running the same tired storylines they were running 5 years ago when I was there. And he says that they have an advantage. They own their own building, and they have better video and music abilities. And even though, and he says, even though I tried to work with them, Jerry acted like an asshole. Well, number one, I didn't own it at the time in September or whenever he came. I was just there. And, you know, as far as old storylines, at least we have old storylines. We've been there long enough to have old storylines. You know, there's probably no chance of them having old storylines because at this pace, I don't think they're going to be around that long. I mean, they're killing themselves and any possibility they have to bring in other talent that will supplement the roster. You know, and that too will get old. And if, I don't know, y'all know a lot more about this than I do, but if I'm not mistaken, wrestling is the same old storyline since its inception. It's good versus evil. And in my mind, the difference is that some promoters are talented enough to pull them off, and some dress their workers in pirate costumes and walk them around. So, you know, I mean, you know, again, just how I see it. I mean, yes, we are running the same old storylines. It's good and bad. I mean, that's what everybody does. But, you know, we've been doing it for a long time. It's been done for a long time in that building with a lot of the same faces. So, and really, to quote what I feel like is who I gauged everything I did for 6 years in Cornea is from a quote from Larry's report, take it from someone that saw the first War Games ever from the second row, no promotion on the planet, large or small, gives War Games match its proper due like they do in Cornea, Georgia. And Larry, thank you for that. And Larry goes on to say, as good as the War Games was, Hardcore Hell was no one-trick pony. There wasn't a bad match on the show, and there were several pleasant surprises. A full house of 200 rocked the Anarchy Arena. For a change, the building was cracking with energy all night long. Now, that doesn't sound like a storyline that has gotten too old. You know, Clint said I was an asshole, and I was. I'll be the first to tell you I was. And he didn't go on to tell you, though, that after I was an asshole, I turned around and apologized and tried to explain to him why I was such an asshole about it. He came to the show acting like he was being respectful to Franklin. Franklin didn't really appreciate it. And I would ask Clint, how would he feel? Clint does, in his chosen profession, he does a great job. And he has got a real unique business. And it's involving animals. He does animal rescue and a pet store, amongst some other things in that line. And I just wonder, you know, if a part-time worker at the Walmart...
I believe Jerry Palmer just got a fireman call.
Damn.
If I mute him, we don't hear it, but I don't want to.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess that was that for now. But
I'm not going to speculate as to who called in the fire.
That's what I call timing.
I mean, you talk about leaving and wanting more. That's how you get out.
He was just warming to the task, and he's gone.
I mean, that's pretty good storytelling.
I'm just making sure he's, you know, we're not just muting him. But I guess if that wasn't a call, then please call back, Jerry. If not, we'll try to get you on again sometime soon to finish your story.
Yeah, because it was going to be a good one.
Well,
what time is it? I guess we could go to a commercial break.
Let's do that. Let's take a break. Ease back into this thing, see what we got.
All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling, and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. Jerry Palmer is still on the line, it looks like, so I'm going to see if he wants to finish. But we do also have Murder One and Josh Wheeler calling in a few minutes, so hopefully if he is still here, he can wrap everything up. But let's find out.
Hello?
Hey. Jerry.
Hey, yeah, I'm not sure where we lost each other. I started getting some kind of god-awful ringing-type feedback. I don't know. What was the last thing we all heard? And I'll try to get quick about it. I mean, what I had to say about it's not very much. It's just pointed is all.
You were explaining how you had tried to reach out to Eller to explain, you know, what you were.
Oh, yeah, so you didn't lose me too late into it. Okay, well, and really, I mean, I just you know, what he does, I mean, in his profession, his chosen profession, if he had been approached by somebody that was an upstart or something in that profession and tried to move in next door to him, he would be pissed off. But what I took offense to was that he came in acting like he was seeking approval, right? And when everybody around goes, you know, it's not really the best idea. You know, you might want to sit down and talk with Bill and Franklin about it. I mean, there's a way to do it, but that, you know, in the wrestling business, that's kind of a, you know, that's just not really respectful. And so even after that, he just made it clear that he was still going to do it, no matter what anybody said. So it basically killed the whole idea that he was trying to be a professional by coming in there, and it also killed the idea that he was a wild side worker and an indie regular, because those guys are still around, and every minute of their career is based on respect to the point that they're obsessive and protective about it. And I've seen big-time talent turned out of that building because they didn't have respect. You know, so I think that, you know, that's where it got off on the wrong foot. I just thought it was disrespectful to come into somebody else's house and act that way. I would have done the same for Clint had he been in that situation. I didn't take it personally. I just thought it was a bad plan and was carried out wrong. And yes, I was a bit of an asshole, but I tried to explain to him why. And when he left there, he understood that why I got a little hot about it. You know, he talks about their AV stuff. You know, Anarchy's had AV, and we've used it before with great success. We've used it here. We've used it there. It's not used as much anymore, but they chose to concentrate a little bit higher on, you know, on the card as a higher priority and have so many people coming in and out to keep that up. I mean, you know, maybe he's got a point there. I'm not sure, but you know, no amount of AB is going to make a worker talented. It doesn't matter what you do. It's just the AB stuff does not make the card in the roster talented, and that's unfortunate because it'd be nice if it could. Then I could be a pro wrestler because I could make a hell of a video. Are we still on?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Okay, just making sure. Y'all get quiet now. I think I've been cut off again. And he says the advantage that they own their own building. You know, that, to me, that's a liability. But either way, Mr. Popham handles that, so I'm not sure where that came in. He goes on to say, we can seat 200, and we'll draw that within a few shows. Anarchy doesn't concern me. They don't take care of their workers, and they're arrogant. I'm just looking for some guys that want to be treated right. We run MMA shows and average 150 paid. We're an MMA gym, and they already have a few guys that want to jump ship as soon as my show gets going. A third of the guys there grew up in the business with me. You know, that was last September. As of last week, they still be what you guys used to call the MCI shows, you know, the old MCI phone company where they had the friends and family plan. and sadly enough, I spoke with two of the fans from Anarchy Show last week, and they actually – on their own, I must say, went over there just to see for the first few minutes. And they viewed it as comic relief, which is sad to the guys, you know, because undoubtedly there's somebody over there in that roster that really has a fire in their belly and wants to be a pro wrestler. And this may very well, at this pace, it may derail this. So I don't know. And I don't want Clint to confuse arrogance with confidence. I mean, you know, Wild Side Anarchy has earned that right. You know, how many years now? What, 16, 17? In one location? Long time in one location. But those guys have also been taught from the very beginning to respect their position in the wrestling world. And if it is a high position, they should appreciate it. Because, look, when you're near the top of something, there's only one place to go after that, and that's file off. And it's happened. And any business has been up and down. But Anarchy really is terrible to the employees. I mean, you know, they ask for more with less, which is what these guys will face at the next level. That's the difference. Anarchy plans on moving their talent to the next level, if at all possible. And I'm afraid Clint may only be looking to redeem himself. I get it. I really do get that. I'm getting up in some age, and last Saturday I realized Michael beat how old I was out of me, and I sympathize with that. But I really encourage Clint to think about the position he's putting those workers in. I mean, he may be eliminating any possibility for them if they get blackballed, you know, to be utilized in any other promotion, whether it be successful or not. And I just caution with that. And I'd be kind of cautious with the MMA references. Bobby Popham did not – he had some tough up and downs with MMA. And now MMA is extinct in Georgia with the exit of Lane Collier, the big master promoter of that stuff, and the rules of the GEAC brought on by, guess what? Misfit backyard MMA promotions that went rogue. So the state dropped the hammer on them and made it just absolutely worthless to do in the state of Georgia. I mean, they were about to the point to get them fighting with marshmallows. I mean, so they couldn't hurt each other. You know, the idea in MMA is to knock somebody the hell out. But it was done by these backyard, you know, what everybody likes to call backyard stuff, you know, misguided folks. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying they're a little bit misguided, and that makes everybody suffer. I just think it's kind of sad. And that was pretty much the end of his email. You know, Clint is very good at what he does. I don't want to misterm it, but he owns a pet store, but it's a lot of exotic stuff. And he also does animal rescue. And, you know, that's pretty close to my heart. And the guy does a wonderful job. I've used him in my private life. I've used him and will continue to do so after this day. He does good, and I sympathize with him. He was a worker, let's just be honest. And I'm not trying to be mean or hurt his feelings. I'm trying to give him some points to sell everybody down for a minute, because this is getting ugly. It's getting real ugly. He was a worker who didn't make it. I never saw him wrestle, but I understand that he only entered the ring during the Friday night shows that Steve and Rick and Bill put together to use his training sessions, because he had so many trainees. As far as to his claim to being in Wildside talent, the ones that were there can only recall some isolated security spots. And as far as the friends he keeps claiming he had growing up in the business, they only recall him, and unfortunately, and I don't mean this hateful, but this is what's told to me, as a mark who trained and not as a part of the in-ring talent. He's quick to list Iceberg as a close friend. I would be very, very careful before I do that again.
because Iceberg does not have this recollection. I believe that he really had this fire in his belly to be a pro wrestler, but like a lot of people, me included, the lack of physical talent and mental ability, and then eventually, in his defense, a motorcycle wreck derailed any chances of that. I mean, the guy had a terrible accident, and it's sad for him. I mean, it's a sort of a midlife crisis type thing. He looks back with regret. He's trying to live vicariously through these hopeful trainees, and unfortunately, through the words and the wallet of Bobby Popham. I understand it, and I get it. I really do. Last Saturday, I took the ass-whipping of a lifetime, whether it be in or out of the ring. And one of the overwhelming thoughts that was going through my head was, what the fuck did he just hit me with? Not really. What? It was the trash can lid, but really what I was thinking is, man, I'm getting too old to do this a lot. You know, I like Toby Keith likes to tell you guys, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good as once as I ever was. Well, I cashed that in last Saturday night. So it'd be cold damn hell for you letting anybody toss me and enter the ring with a monster like Judas again. So Clint just needs to embrace this and repair what relationships he still has left. I would probably, however, for a little while, do it at a distance from Anarchy. I'd go back and recall those first days of training in that building and recall the respect aspect of it. I know him, and I know the guy's not a heel, and he's making himself into one right now, and he's not very good at it. Try a different route. Repair those relationships that you claim you had. You know, the foundation for a successful promotion is professionalism. That's an everyday life, talent, gear. You know, we lived and died by that. And he's got to ask himself, does the promotion pass that test right now? Anarchy and Wildside been running uninterrupted for X number of years. This is not the first time somebody's come in and done this kind of thing, and it won't be the last. But the guys at Anarchy need to remember something, and the whole Anarchy family, and all these other promoters, you guys have been talking about Pete State. No, there's so many good ones right now, I can't even think of all the names. But your Rampages, you know, your APWs, which I couldn't be prouder of these guys. I mean, they're putting on some quality shows. And nobody's drawing outstanding, but that's an economy thing. But they're putting on damn good shows, and people are missing out by not going to these shows. Man, I tell you, freeing up some of my series, I'm hitting the shows. I hit Boulevard over there in East Denali. I hit APW every chance I get. And I'm going to start going to some of these others I didn't have a chance to go to, you know, being regular on Anarchy's roster. And but I encourage all those members of what I consider as the Anarchy family to resist the temptation to engage in this online bullshit with Clint. And what they need to do is open up their minds just a little bit to any conversation coming from Bobby Popham. He's the owner of that building and the actual promoter. And let Bill and Franklin handle this in a professional manner. Every minute these guys spend on dealing with this crap is 1 minute you could have spent improving Anarchy. At this point, it's not even deserving of a response. It's comparing apples and tennis balls, in my opinion.
Jerry, we have Murder One scheduled. And he's on hold, but you mentioned him earlier. Do you mind if we bring him on to
I've only got a little bit more about that, and I certainly want to – I know y'all want to talk about this severe ass beat. Larry thought he was fixing to send flowers to a funeral when he came to the locker room last week, and I wouldn't sit down, sure, but I wasn't going to have to give him an address to it. So certainly bring him on.
Well, I just want – before – while we have both of you, you mentioned him earlier, so I just wanted to give him a chance to maybe respond if he wanted
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Murder One, is that you?
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing, bro?
And what's this I hear about you acting ugly again? You done what today? You just turned on somebody.
What'd I do?
They were saying something right before I signed on about you back to the old Murder One self. You backstabbing and conniving and cheating and laying waste. I mean, you know.
They talk about the little accident with bands, you know what I'm saying?
I'm proud of you, man. You know that.
Well, I mean,
we go back
Bull
a long
Buchanan.
Way.
I heard Bill Barron's name. It was Bull Buchanan, I think. I don't know. I'm drinking right now.
Bill be tickled that you confused him with Bull Buchanan, I promise.
Yeah, you know. I'm a brain fucked up. Nah, but, you know, shit, I just talked to Bill today. He got some shit coming my way. He's just waiting on the mail out there.
He's every day. But, you know, guys, I mean, a lot of this, and you know, and we're talking about this other promotion. And, Murray, we've
you know, you've seen a lot more than I have, but in the 7-8 years I've been around, I mean, this stuff comes and goes. But here's a guy I think is getting a black eye in this area. You got Bobby Popham, who is the actual promoter and the building owner and all that. He is a very accomplished martial artist and the trainer of the same kind of stuff. He's always been a nice guy. He's got an entrepreneurial spirit. He looked for ways to keep his building up and running and going and filled and making income. There's no problem with that. But possibly, like with MMA, he might have aligned himself with the wrong people. And everybody that's on this line and everybody listening has been in that spot before. And maybe this time, this venture might not be different. Getting unwanted attention brought on by associates and not by the guy himself. My wife, and this is crazy, and this is how small the world is, especially in Habersham County, Cornelia, Georgia, and around the church. It's real small. I mean, really, really small. There was a guy dressed in a Pirates outfit. My wife and child were at Chick-fil-A. He's standing next to a guy, and the guy inquired about, why are you in this goofy outfit? Oh, well, I'm out promoting a new wrestling promotion, and my wife is sitting 2 foot from this guy. He don't know it. He don't know her. And he's telling how anarchy's going out. And the guy said, oh, you wrestled down on Mud Creek. And he said, no, over here on this other place. And, you know, anarchy's about out of business. You know, they're losing Dragon Con and all this other stuff and blah, 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 blah. I just kept on and on and on. And, you know, if I'm a promoter, that's going to make me hot under the collar. Because, number one, if I want to stir up stink, please let me do it myself. I'm good at it. I can stir up. I can stick my own foot in my own mouth. I don't need, you know, a cat dressed in a Pirates outfit to do this. And I bet you Bobby Popham is not familiar with all this, with everything that's being said on his behalf. But my advice to him would be, I mean, because, you know, when you do this, you piss folks off and you do this, and the next thing you know, then they're calling the athletic commission. Let's see if he's licensed. Let's see if, you know, just a lot of unnecessary crap. It's number one, gets everybody on the radar, which none of us need anymore. To him, what I would say to Bobby Popham, because I know him, he's a nice guy. He's not a bad guy at all. He needs to take command of his business. I think he's being misled. I don't think it's intentional. I just think they need to regroup. And if I were him, this is exactly what I'd do. And y'all going to say, oh, you crazy. That's past. But I'm telling you, Bobby Popham will call Franklin Dove and Bill Behrens and sit down, just them three, not me, not Clint, not you guys, not anybody else. I bet you they can walk out of that door with a way for everybody to do something. That would be what I would do. And if he really wants to promote a show, if he really wants to do that, and that's his heart's mission, there's a way to do it. But for God's sakes, go to somebody that knows about it and get a little bit of guidance from them and a little bit of cooperation, a little bit of professional spirit going here. Because, I mean, right now, what's going on right now is not working. That's what I would do, if that's what he really wants to do. And to the workers over there, you know, guys, the next AJ Styles may be over there in his locker room. I don't know that. We're never going to get to find out. Because, you know, you got Murder knows what's going on. You guys know what's going on. I guarantee you, every promotion in this state knows what's going on. And they're going, whew, we don't want to mess with them. Well, these guys are going to get a chance to play on one of these shows one day. And they're going to say, well, shit, I don't even, y'all have to tell me the name, OSWA, whatever it is. Did you run up there? Yeah, well, we're not interested, bud. Sorry. Just because they don't want all the drama and all the BS. To the workers, I think if they really, 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 really want to do this stuff, take a look at what's going on, and I'll tell you what I'll do. Murder knows we got this coming up on Labor Day weekend, and I'm hoping to be there. But I mean, man, that is the most fun that you can have doing anything. It's the most fun thing we do, and it is one of the best shows. It just everybody lets the hair down, and it's just hugely entertaining from start to finish. I tell you what, I talked to Slim because he's still putting it together. And it's not, you know, contrary to popular belief, it's not an anarchy show, by the way.
You're talking about Dragon Con?
Yes, sir. I'm talking about Dragon Con.
Okay.
I tell you what I'll do. If they've got a guy over there who thinks, and I mean this wholeheartedly, if there's a guy over there who can call me, and I'm not hard to get in touch with, call me and express and convince me that they have the heart and they want to do this, I'll find a spot. This is with Slim's permission. We'll find a spot for them to do a spot at Dragon Con.
so that they know what this is, what it's supposed to be. Because they'll see people from Anarchy, they'll see people from Rampage, Peach State, they'll see folks from all over. That is like a reunion of just awesome roster members from all around this state and all around the Southeast. It's incredible, and it's fun to watch. And you know what? The professionals don't have to work with each other every day. They cannot see each other for 2 years and come in there and just blow it out. I mean, that's the difference. So if one of those kids over there want to do that, then all they need to do is call me and convince me of it. I'll give them my word. I'll come get them. They can drive down there with me. And the way things go with me down there, they can drive me back.
There it is.
It's the voodoo juice, mother. I can't help it. I just think all this is getting blown way out of proportion. I think, again, I sympathize with Clint. I really do. I know what it feels like to walk out into a fairly crowded arena. You know, when we walked out with WWE that time, and even though they were booing us because we were doing a heel security spot, man, that is addictive. It is addictive to hear that crowd holler for you, and it is addictive to do that stuff. And unfortunately, his time has passed to be that guy. So I understand that. Believe me, I live with it every day. I have to wake up now going, damn, I'm getting older, and I can't keep doing this. And what I've done in the peak of it is way past. I never was a wrestler. I'm just fortunate enough to be around some damn good folks, and still am. And I just think this blown out, I think everybody needs to back up, take a few minutes. And this has come from me. I'm one of the hottest heads you'll ever find. Ask Murder. He knows that. Me and him stared
that's
exactly why we get along. Because sometimes you do have to do that. You know, in the beginning, you got to go around and sniff each other's ass. You know how that works. So, I mean, you know, it's just like a bunch of dogs. So we threw that. But through professionalism is how we patched all that and made it work. And I just think that's what everybody needs. The Anarchy guys, back off. Let Bill and Franklin handle it. That's how you do that. Don't justify it with responses for Clint. Settle down. Remember, you're speaking for your roster and for your promoter. And don't screw it up for them. And, you know, get over it. Don't worry your feelings on your sleeves. I learned that pretty quick, too. You know, one of the first reviews Larry did of Anarchy that wasn't too presentable, boy, I just called Jeff and I said, what the fuck is wrong with him? Blah, 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 blah. And Jeff just let me talk for a minute and he said, well, he was right. The show sucked. Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess it did, didn't it? So, I mean, you know, guys, again, I'm not the be-all and know-all of this, but I've seen this from the outside, and I know all these players, and I kind of know their history a little bit personally, you know, being from the area and all. And none of these guys are bad guys. Clint's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy at all. I think he just wants something so bad, and it's just he's working off of emotion and not off the fact and stuff. And I think everybody just needs to back up, and let's move on to something else. I mean, let's move on to how some wore out, beat down promoter just got the living hell beat out of him for no apparent good reason last Saturday night. When all I was trying to do is shake hands with the man and tell him it was all a misunderstanding.
Well, Jerry, I don't know if Murder was listening earlier when you brought up his name. So could you just
you want me to recap that one?
Yeah, just so he knows why he's on.
I just try to throw cold water. You want me to rev it back up? Okay, let me get back up here. Glad to take notes.
Well, we can let you go.
I want to make sure it's got out. All right, according now, this is not me talking, but according to some emails I got, because people found out I was going to be on the show, and that's what I wanted to address. This needs to settle down and be taken care of. Now, well. You know how that goes. Get a lot of emails. Hey, check out this post, check out that post, that kind of thing. Well, in one of them, I was told by, I didn't get to see it personally, but Clint basically says, I think to Steve Platinum, that people don't want to be on his bad side. And if they didn't believe that, they could ask you. Now, I don't know if he's, I don't know if he's indicating that. You know better than to be on his bad side, or that you know people who have, and you can testify to it.
First, who is this Clinton talking about? Shit.
Y'all have to tell him. I can't.
Yeah.
OSWA.
Clint Eller is.
Clint Eller.
Oh, Clint Eller. Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
I know him, yeah.
What?
He whooped you or something? He's trying to say what? Did he whoop you or something, Murder? It sounds like
man,
he whooped you to me.
Please. No, sir. Hell, I'm going to tell you something about not because that's implicating crime. That implicates criminal stuff, but no. He a cool dude, man. So I don't know. I'm wondering what the fuck did he do?
Nothing. At this point, really nothing. I think he's just wearing his mug. It started a promotion across town, from Anarchy, and then last week during Hardcore Hell, he ran a show against them, and then there was some inflammatory stuff on Facebook, and it just led to, I mean, again, it's comparing apples and tennis balls, and my take on it is, and it's a very benign take on it, and Larry's got a psychological background. He probably sitting over there shaking and said, you might be right, because I live this. You know, I think Clint did not make it at Wildside like he wants to believe he did, and I think before he could get back on his feet or get, you know, or make it happen, get older, a little more mature, a little more physical, he had the motorcycle wreck. And I just think it did him, and I think he's trying to live – I think he's trying to live through this promotion and these trainees, and there's comments that I was sent, you know, of, you know, basically Anarchy's done deal, you know, they're not drawing, and as soon as he gets this, this is in September, as soon as his promotion's up and running, a lot of the Anarchy guys are going to jump ship and come over there, and I mean, we've heard this before.
The business is calling him back, and he's got to do it somehow.
And, you know, and that's fine. And like I said, for him and Bobby Popham both, hey, man, if you really want to do this, there's room. We've all already proven there's plenty of room in the state of Georgia for independent professional wrestling. We'll make room somewhere, but do it the right way. Don't go into head-to-head competition because, number one, had I not known, if somebody not said something, I would have never known that they had done that. And what's the point? To what end does it have?
Do you think he's listening right now?
I hope so. I mean, so he can hear. You know, look, this is not a.
Clint, if you're listening, call right now.
I did make him aware that Jerry was calling in case he wanted to respond to anything, but I don't know if he's listening or not. But,
I mean, you know, if he is, I mean, like I said, it's just an opinion. I could be wrong, and if I'm right, he's probably not going to tell me that I am. I wouldn't. But just think about it. This tact ain't working.
He used to be able to go, though.
This approach ain't working.
He used to be a decent worker. I had some good matches with him.
He did Friday night stuff right during Wildside, correct?
Yeah. But I could wrestle a broke down. I could wrestle a rusty grill and make it look good.
Well, Murder.
So he had some good matches, but it was because of you, Murder.
No, I didn't say that. See, at least you're taking your role as general is good. Now you twisted my words. I like that. But you know, I'm just saying he can go. Ask Jimmy Rave. We all came up kind of together.
Well, and that was the whole take. And what he done was he came to Anarchy one night, like back in September, and you know. He basically, we thought he'd come to say, hey, I'm tossing around this idea, and I thought for a brief second he was going to say, can y'all help me figure out how to do this where it don't interfere with what y'all are doing? I thought, man, this is awesome. The guy come in, he's you know, I don't want to say asking for permission, but you know, he's coming in being respectful of the business and those kind of things that obviously he was taught if he was anywhere around Wildside and you guys. I mean, he was taught that. I thought, you know, it's going to be pretty cool. Because at first, if he recalls correctly, I was like, hell's talk to Franklin. Because, I mean, I didn't know he was talking about across town. He just said thing about doing a show. I had the whole APW thing in mind because, man, that's worked like a dream. I mean, the APW thing was, that's gold. I mean, that's one of the best involvements I had outside Anarchy ever. I mean, they're doing great. They groom people and they get top-notch stuff going on over there, and it's an absolute joy to watch. I mean, it's a good thing. So I had that in my mind. And then when he started saying where it was at and when he was going to do it, and Franklin was kind of, I don't really care for that. And I think Sam was standing there and said, no, man, that's a bad idea. And I said, yeah, no, that's kind of jacked up. And when it was over, he said, well, basically he said, we're going to do it anyway. And I'm like, really? Well, now, so you didn't come in here to be respectful. You come in here just to
He came in there to slap y'all with the white glove and challenge you to a duel.
I guess. I mean, you know, and I got a little pissed off, and I finally just kind of put my seat down on the hood, and I kind of took my hat off and said, is he seriously fucking coming here in another man's house? This ain't my house no more, fortunately. But I said, you come in another man's house and basically tell him you fixing to drink his beer and eat his food out of his refrigerator, and you kind of eyeballing his wife right now.
He was watching football. He put it on Hee Haw or something, didn't he? He changed it up on you.
I was like, wow. Yeah, I was
being
a toilet
beat
up the reason I was an asshole is because I was kind of mad at myself. How the hell did you not see this one come? I was all smiles and happy when he walked up, and all of a sudden, boom. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't come here for that.
The old rope-a-dope.
Yeah, it was. You're right. But again, I think the guy's got – I think you start out with good intentions. I just think he's met some roadblocks, and I don't think the attendance is what it is, and I think he's frustrated with his roster. And again, my whole thing is everybody back up for a minute. Back up, go to opposite corners, call timeout, and let the promoter talk to the promoter and let Bill be involved because Bill's not – I mean, he's a promoter and just a man of multi-talents in this field. And things go
he's
better.
He's a politician.
And he is one of the best walkers of a fence you'll ever see in your life. And, you know, I can't tell you over the years how many times he's listened to me rant about something or somebody, and when I'm done, in about three sentences, you know how Bill has this innate ability after you just throw your heart out there and just give it all, and you make the best point in the world about, wow, this person's a complete idiot and shouldn't be doing this. And in three sentences, he makes you feel like the biggest jackass that's ever walked the face of the earth and really never addressed the whole point. So he has that ability to negotiate that and to, you know, but if these guys truly want to do this, absolutely, I'm 110% in support of it. But please do it the right way. Don't make your roster, your guys on your roster a target. Because let's be honest, let's just think right now. let's think we find out that, I don't know, Rampage or Peace State has got one of their guys working. How fast do you think people are going to light up the phones and the email and say, hey, this cat working with you, let me tell you what this bunch done. And there goes somebody getting an unnecessary receipt for something they didn't do. And
wow.
To that point, you see what I'm saying?
You can't be telling shit like that over the airwaves, man. That's the secret hit.
They walk into it every day. And that's not, you know,
You just make a phone call, somebody can get their head lumped up real quick.
I'm beginning to wonder somebody didn't call Michael Juice before last week's show. And I know I got one receipt. I'm thinking I got two. I know the stick shot was one. I'm trying to figure out who the hell sent the trash can lid as one because he kind of, you know.
Murder one.
You can tell by some of my
actions.
Oh, okay.
I threw it all the way from where I was.
Let me tell you something. Whatever it was, I owed you. I paid it because – let me tell you, he hit me with that. You know, them trash can lids got bad aerodynamics, and, you know, they're pretty good to use. And let me tell you something. I thought he hit me with a damn manhole cover. You know, he flung me over that top rope into that fence again. I didn't know which damn direction I was pointing in. But a collision with that fence again kind of straightened me out on where exactly I was at. But, you know, I just think with this, everybody needs to call time out. Let the promoters out. Let the business take the business end up before we ruin. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I don't know his roster. I wouldn't know anybody on his roster. But surely over there, there's a kid over there with a good heart and some athletic ability and the want to be a pro wrestler. Don't you think?
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? Now I would tell you. I'm gonna tell you straight up. That Clint dude.
Yep.
He's like a black belt or something, man. He'll knock the motherfucker out. For real.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's how him and Bobby know each other. And I tell you something else. And Bobby, the promoter, is a great martial artist. And Clint, you know, Clint is too. And they're not bad guys, but he's giving himself a black eye right now. And I just need him to – I just like for him to stop for a minute and ask himself, why is he doing this? I get the whole regret thing, and maybe not a regret, but damn, I could have done that. I could have done that. I get that. Believe me.
Believe me, I get that. I mean, I'm 46. You think for 1 second every morning I ain't getting the fact that there's a lot of stuff in life, and we all do it. We all do it. I tell people every day, I would not trade a thing in my life. I would not do anything differently, but I would not do it over again this way. Now, that's how I feel about it. So, you know, I understand where he's at, and I think everybody on this phone line probably are. Yeah, I know, Murder, you probably at the age bracket, you maybe not up with me, but, you know, Larry certainly is. I am.
Certainly past you guys.
and so every day we think of, boy, I just wonder. You know, I wonder if I could have done this or that. And you just have to look at what you have done with your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. The business Clint does, it's a pet store, but I'd hate to call it that because it's kind of like, it's not a good comparison. He does a lot of stuff. And he does this animal rescue thing that is as successful as anything. I mean, he is a go-to guy for a lot of stuff, which is not my forte, but he does it with snakes especially. You know, if somebody gets a snake in the house or something, he's the guy. You don't call animal control, call Clint. I mean, this guy is well-respected. And, you know, so this is not a bad guy. So obviously there's an exterior driver here. And Bobby Popham's the same way. Bobby don't want none of this heat. I don't even know if he knows he's getting it. And that's why I say to all the other people, let's back up a minute. Clint's acting on emotion. Everybody should understand that. Let's back up. Let him hush. Let the two promoters get together and try to hash this out, if there's anything to hash out. Otherwise, the only other solution is, hey, you guys over to OSWA, do what you're going to do. And Archie can keep doing what they're going to do. And we'll see how the chips fall. But we need to do it separately. We don't need to, you know, all this back and forth is wasting everybody's time. All the time, good God, I don't do Facebook. But, damn, some of the posts I've seen, these people put a lot of time and effort into this.
I'm going to Facebook as soon as I get done here. I got to catch up on this.
Well, go. The best way I can tell you to find it is find whatever link you got to Danny Only's page, and I promise you the thread is there,
oh,
and it's very deep and very informative.
If Danny Only's involved, I could only imagine how much trouble and how far this has escalated already.
Yes, sir. And, well, I'll tell you another one you can go to. Steve Platinum has a lot of stuff, and, you know, that rat bastard Jeff D. Bailey has
Bailey's chimed in. It's worth my time thumbing through all that shit.
Yeah, that's some classic pieces. It's just, I just think, damn, I wish I had, you know, I always tell, and I told Larry this before, back when I was young, I used to stay out till 4 or 5 in the morning. I could be sobered up and at work by 8 and do some stuff, or I could come in and sleep all day, get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get a ton of shit done, and do it all over again. Now, I get up at 5. And I spin wheel, I work my ass off till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I get nothing done. And then I'm back up at 5. So I always sit there and go, how in the hell do these people have time to get on Facebook? I don't want to be on Facebook because I don't want nobody else to find me because I'd be just one more person you'd have to call or stay in contact with, and I can't keep up with the folks I got now. So if Facebook's been the demise of many a folk, let me tell you, the stuff folks put on there. So I am amazed, and I think everybody use that time to do something else for a day or two. You know what I'm saying? Just let them, you know, understand. Try to understand where Clint's coming from. Larry, is this right? We try to understand before we can be understood. Is that the right terminology?
Well, I guess the thing what you just said that reminded me of is I think pro wrestling in general should stay off of Facebook as much as possible. It does pro wrestling no favors.
Exactly, and it there are some people out there who will view that as petty and may decide they don't want to be a part of any of it. You know, there are some people out there that say, well, boy, these guys are fighting. I don't want my kids or my family out there with these two. You know, you don't know if somebody's going to barge in the door and start whooping people. You know,
in
this day and time, you can't ever tell. And but, yeah, it just gives us all a black eye. Let's plenty of room.
Have a big Anchorman fight.
you know, there's an idea they could do. Let's have a damn interpromotional war. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But we got a lot of work to do. Yeah, oh, God. I mean, I'm back in on that. So, you know, the point being, let's don't let this door slam all the way. Let's just see in the first thing. And if we decide respectfully that, hey, we can't work with you.
It happens, right? It does happen. And let's just agree to disagree. You guys go on the other side of town and you run whenever you want to. Good luck to you. Goodbye. And we'll keep running what we've been doing for 16, 17 years in the same building. And we'll just let it go like that. And you know, that may be the only solution. But I just, before it gets stupid, before it gets really dumb and stupid, everybody just needs time out. And I say that, and I'm a damn hothead. All right? So.
All right. Terry, well, we're way over time, and we still...
Guys, listen, I appreciate it. And I know we ramble, but I haven't talked to you guys in a long time. And it's been fun, and I hope it makes sense, and I hope it didn't sound like a complete idiot. But, you know, that's just how I see it. And I know we didn't get a chance to talk about our previous thing, but it just makes me sore to talk about the last match. If y'all want to talk about Hardcore Hell, call me next week. We'll talk about it. But it was, Larry, it was just as damn brutal as it looked like it was, okay?
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Jerry. And
I appreciate them.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. We don't say that to you guys enough. And thanks to everybody who has supported me, Murder One. Thank you. Thank you for all these workers that do the things that they continue to do. They refuse to let pro wrestling die, and that's what keeps it going. And I'm proud to have been a part of it, and I'm proud to still be a part of it.
All right. You safe, man.
Guys, take care. I'll talk to you in there. See you now.
Thanks. Well, we got Murder One, and Josh Wheeler has been on hold for quite a while. So we will, I guess, Larry, first we should let you ask. You wanted to talk to Josh and Murder about a previous promotion that they worked on long ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't mind, when you heard you said that you're going to have Murder One and Josh on, I had to ask about PWE.
No, let's not talk about it. What's there to talk about? The other part of it's dead, so we can't. There's nothing else we can really say about it. He can't defend himself, so you know it is what it is.
He could be a
well, you're referring to Roger Cantrell. I was really talking about what. Just wanted to ask about like what you really remember fondly about it, and if you had to do over, what would you do differently? I didn't really want to talk about Roger.
Murder, you start, because there's like two things that I would do differently.
Murder would not throw up flyers at the Anarchy Show.
I didn't throw the flyers, see.
Yeah, we just paid them to throw the flyers.
I conducted the business on the other side of the fence. I said what I had to say, then the flyers flew in the air, and there it was. It's funny that y'all had me on, and they were talking about somebody else going to war with them.
Only thing I would do differently is I would have invested in a cash register, and I would have made sure I had a lot higher budget than previous, and I would have made sure I bought Atlanta TV from the get-go.
You would have wanted to be on TV right from the go.
Yeah. Again, I would have had a real budget, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you have a real budget, you have TV, you automatically look a little bit bigger than if you're saying, oh, we're on YouTube. I mean, TV still has an effect on people. But that's just my opinion.
You know, when I look back on it, I think you guys had some great talent, some talent that's wasn't ever seen in Georgia except when you guys brought him in. Claudio Castagnoli, you know, Antonio Cesaro now. Low-key on numerous occasions. I think he had Ricky Reyes in. If I remember right, he also had Kevin
Steen
one time.
Well, and you know, not to blow Mine and Murder's own horn, but we found Chip Day. We found Bobby Moore. We found Kyle Matthews. We really did something with Andy Alexander. We really did something with Biohazard. We were doing something with Darren Childs and Jacob Ladder out in Texas. I mean, we really found a lot of talent that is now doing bigger things outside of what we did. But, again, I'm not trying to blow my own horn or blow Murder's. I mean, I know what we did. And sometimes I feel like we don't get the respect that we deserve for what we did, so I can't be a little bitter about it. A little bitter about it.
Well, I guess we should move on to, you know, we had Jerry on to talk about one of the hot topics of local wrestling, and of course, Rampage has been an equally hot topic, if not even hotter. So I don't really know where to begin. Murder, you obviously are still a big part of the show there. You're still the booker. Josh, you were an announcer and are no longer part of the show. But I guess, what do you guys think about all this talk about what's what's wrong with Rampage or where's Rampage going.
Okay. This is the thing right here. They when they say what's wrong with it, you know, they just automatically just put out all this bullshit. But, you know, some people claim to be, you know, journalists and some people don't. They don't go to the people and try to find out the story before they just start running their motherfucking mouths. But the thing is, you know, it's been some serious behind-the-scenes changes, you know what I'm saying? You know, money cut and all this, and I'm just trying to make the best of it, of what I got to work with, you know what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, just saying fuck or whatever, you know, you just got to keep the ball moving. So to me, yeah, there are some problems, but it ain't the problems that y'all are thinking.
Do you want to disclose what some of the problems might be, or is that something that just needs to be worked out behind the scenes?
I mean, that's just, yeah, for once, that's some stuff I got to keep close to the hip. But I'll tell you this much, it's getting worked, it's worked out, and it's getting, you know what I'm saying, it's the common ground and everything is going to keep moving.
Well, Murder, there's been some allusion as to what Ben Master's role may be in Rampage. You want to expound on what
Uncle
Ben Master's true role is?
His role is the promoter of Rampage.
His role is pain in the ass of everybody backstage.
So, but Josh, is your take a little different on this than Murder's might be?
You asked me what his role was. I was telling you the role.
That is his official. His official title is poster hanger. His official job duties don't include that, though.
Well, Josh, do you have any insight on the answer to the question that people keep asking about what's wrong with Rampage or whatever?
I don't think there's anything wrong with Rampage. Like Murder said, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that people don't realize on the business end of Rampage. And, you know, you do have a cancerous person in that locker room, Ben, and he can be a pain in the ass to deal with. And anytime you start getting positive momentum, he goes and runs and tattles or whatever he does to get things changed. So there you go.
Well, and that's pretty direct.
As people start to expound on, you know, kind of what's wrong with Rampage, they start pointing to you know, the storyline you're putting on TV, the storyline you're running in front of the fans. And Murder, you and the Blacklist are a big part of that. Now,
okay.
Rave kind of went through the same thing when Jimmy Rave approved was doing too much, and part of that might have led to Rave's removal. What do you feel about when people think that, hey, the Blacklist is too much, that's murdering his boys?
I'm going to go into it. I'm going to say that the Blacklist is not supposed to be in the spot that they're in, but they had to be put in the spot that they're in because of things that happened with Hot Like Lava. You see what I'm saying? When those two guys got, when they got the boot, when they got canned, it threw everything that I had planned off. You know what I'm saying? It just threw it off. Because I took for granted that they was going to be there for, you know, for everything, and I had no backup plan. I'll admit that. I had no backup plan. When they left, I had to rebuild on the spot.
So Hot Like Lava figured heavily into where you were planning on going with the stories, and then you had to completely take a different direction. Would that be fair?
Exactly.
Yes. That's a very fair assessment.
Was there a fight about that, about them going? You know, was there one side saying, hey, we need to keep them because we've started to build this, and another side saying, we're pissed off, they got to go?
Pretty much.
And what was the official reason why they had to go?
The lewdness and stuff that they were. I mean, some people had a problem with the things that Hot Like Lava did. I sum it up like that.
Allegedly, okay. We were getting phone calls from some parents. Allegedly,
they were PG-13. Rampage is a PG product.
Hey, and Murder, and this is probably going a little outside. I was actually reprimanded on one of the TV broadcasts for a metaphor that I used on Sean Banks, and I was told that we'd come on at 9 a.m., not at 2 a.m. Please choose your words wisely.
Was Hot Like Lava ever given a warning or anything to tone it down? And you know, did they get a chance to redeem themselves or a second chance, or was it?
It all came down to a list that was sent out.
Blacklist?
I guess. No, it was
the New Year's resolution list.
Oh, it was Christmas list at first.
Right, right. Yeah.
This is what set it off. You know, but the Christmas, yeah, like I said, the Christmas list set it off, and then from there was no coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm the booker, but there's somebody over me.
Right, right. Another thing that was, and to that point right there, another thing that was said, it was like that kind of caught everybody off guard, was your choice of commentator who had a thick Arabic accent. Was that your call?
Yeah, it was my call because I've seen him do the gimmick otherwise. But in my defense, I mean, well, I'll say dumbness on it. I didn't think that, you know, I automatically thought that he could carry that accent like he's done for a broadcast. But in hindsight, he only had to carry it for a promo. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Not for a whole hour, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So that was my mess up, but I corrected it. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's
and
like
I said. I will say about Miguel Rivera, without the accent, the actual content of what he says is not bad at all. It was
I dropped the ball on that one. I'll take full responsibility for that one. I dropped the ball on that one. But like I said, I'm nothing. You know what I'm saying? And nothing against Rampage. It's like I said. Like Jerry Palmer said, it's you know, tough economic times, and some shit's got to change. If you know Rampage is gonna stay around, things got to change. You know what I'm saying? Their money's got to be trimmed off here, and I got to work with what I got. And like I mean, to me, it's a challenge because I've worked with a lot less. You feel me?
Murder. Do you think there is the danger of Rampage may be in danger of not being around in the next few months or whatever?
No.
You think it'll survive this?
It'll survive. Like I said, everybody's entitled to a bad period. You know what I'm saying? A reconstruction period. When unforeseen things hit you, you got to rebuild or give it up. You know what I mean? We chose to rebuild.
Can I chime in on that one a little bit? Because I have been out of the loop, but I'm trying to figure out where like the whole like, oh, they're going to go out of business. Where did this all come from?
Yeah,
like,
where does it come from?
I mean, this is nothing against the internet community or anything like that, because I'm a part of it now. But it seems like everybody just jumps to the conclusion like, oh, well, they had a bad show. They only drew 75 and not 115. They must be going out of business. I don't understand how that keeps happening. Like, they've not canceled any shows. They had to change a few little things with talent. I personally don't like the BFFs as faces, but that's just me. And I think the whole bully thing is a joke. But that's because, you know, it just looks cheesy to me, but that's me. But I don't see where everybody else is like, oh, well, they're going out of business. Like, how do you factor that in? Like, every company's had bad times in this state in the past 5 years. Every company.
I will tell you what has been said to me, and it has nothing to do with the booking or the bad shows. It has to do with the fact that previously Dr. Gayden has been very close to and at one time completely shut down the company and
right.
then decided
to
keep it running. So the speculation that I hear from other workers in other places is that he's going to do that again. He's just going to shut it down. Not because of anything with the booking, but he's just going to decide he wants to shut it down.
Right.
Well, if it was going to shut down, I think it would have already been shut down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. If Doc was going to close shop, he would have closed shop after the Jimmy Rave incident. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, the way I see it, too, you know, like I said, when the economic times get tough, you know, it always gets tough around wrestling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Rampage had a stupendous budget. It was great. You could do many things with the budget that was, you know, there for certain amounts of time. But, you know, the true, you know what I'm saying, if you're down for it, you're down for it. So when times get hard, you try to pick it back up and make it self-sustain. You feel me? And that's the mission right there. And that's what you got to do. You know, some people ain't getting brought in. You know what I'm saying? As much some people are gone, you know, it's whatever. If people want to leave, that's whatever. Because like they always used to tell me when I was just sitting back there getting dressed all the time, you can be replaced. You feel me? So, I mean, it's just like, you know, Rampage is not going nowhere. And watch me say this now, and then I get an email and motherfucker shut down tomorrow. So let me clarify. To my knowledge, Rampage is not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
How constrained are you by, or does it feel, or do you feel constrained by now only having one camera to shoot the TV?
Like I said, that was a call to, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, to streamline it. But the camera, I mean, I got, you know, I'm the guy that looks at it like this. If you put it there, I could try to make it work. I could do the best I can with what I got. You know?
That was painful. I won't lie. That was one of my last weeks.
It was painful
from a TV person.
But see, now, you know, the promos, the backstage promos are gone, but I'm about to fix that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm about to fix that. And all I can say about it is I'm about to put the promos in the hands of the boys themselves.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because some of the Blacklist promo segments were some of my favorite parts of the show, and those backstage ones you shot, and those haven't been there lately, so there's going to be some sort of a comeback of the backstage promos.
Yeah, and it's going to be put into the hands of the boys themselves. I ain't going to say nothing because, you know, people listening, they might jack my motherfucking idea. And then I have to come on your show and start talking about people again.
Well, Murder, as wrestling fans and wrestling critiquers, are we just being impatient?
Stop right there, because I know where you're going. Yeah, you're being impatient. Why don't you wait for some... If you see, for instance, Miss Rachel, you see her in the crowd, you know what I'm saying? And in the next three weeks later, she's a ring announcer. Wait for it to play out. You know what I'm saying? When you see that man in the closet at the end of a show and he got the big knife but you don't see his face, you don't write to the fucking producer and be like, man, that's some bullshit because I don't know what she's doing there.
Can I say something on that one?
Just wait for it to play out because I'm telling you. The way
who
you
asked
do
that
it,
question?
It was Uncle Phil. He answered that question.
Okay. What is your favorite TV show?
Game of Thrones, most likely.
Game of Thrones. Okay, if they kill off the main character after the second episode, I bet you're not going to watch anymore, are you?
They did it, and I kept watching.
but they built other characters around them.
Mm.
Like, I'm a huge fan of Sons of Anarchy. I'm not going to stop watching the show just because they killed somebody off. I want to see the whole thing play through. The whole point is people keep looking at wrestling like it's something it's not. It's a fucking entertainment show, and that's what I think the fans, and I used to miss it. I mean, Murray will tell you plenty of times he almost beat the shit out of me on the road because I said something stupid. They miss the idea that this is a show and it's a long-ranging arc of a story. You don't open a novel, read the first page, and skip the last page, and then say, well, fuck, you don't do that. You read it all the way through. Okay, that's the way it works.
Understanding that there's stuff.
I agree with that point, absolutely. My next question would be then, do you think you lost credibility with people that they're willing to wait on you to give them a payoff?
You know,
If you don't give a payoff.
Yeah, but I'll give you the payoff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just going to say this happened.
You know, that question wouldn't have been there a year ago to say, are we being impatient? Just wait for it. Just wait for it because you were up, you were running, you're rocking and rolling, or 2 years ago at this point. But, you know, if you're given things that don't add up to everything, either because of, like you said, talent changes, budget restrictions, if you start to see the product slip a little bit, that's when the questions start to come in. Do you think that
No, I completely agree with you on that, man.
I mean, but you know what? You got to see because, like I said, if you think it's slipping, everybody's going to watch because they think it's a car wreck. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to see, you know, regardless of what they think. You know what I'm saying? They're going to try to see where it plays out. And then when all the pieces fall into place, you're going to be sitting there like, well, I'll be damned. Just like when Larry said he didn't know what was going on with the Ms. Rachel thing. I was laughing my ass off because I was like, damn, if he would just wait till the next taping to see where this goes, you know?
Well, I mean, and you're right about that. I'm still watching for the train wreck aspect, and I still want to see where it's going, and I'm still hoping that it does go somewhere. So you haven't lost me as a viewer of the show, But and of course, like you're saying, there's talent changes, there's budget problems that have come up, and that affects what you're doing. But I'll just give an example: the Kyle Matthews not making the weight limit. And I thought that was a great story, that he couldn't wrestle for the heavyweight title because he didn't make the weight limit. And then that just sort of didn't go anywhere, and then Spyro gets a title shot who clearly does not make the weight limit.
I wasn't there for that, so I know nothing about that.
Spyro, if they said it was a title match, then it wasn't supposed to be.
That was, that's a mistake on the production side. There is no way that Murders is going to change a story like that. Sorry,
okay.
I didn't interrupt.
AJ was just getting fed people, you know what I'm saying, because there was no heavy people for him, quote unquote, you know what I mean? That's all that was. Even though he's the champion, every time AJ step in the ring, it is not for the title.
Well,
and a part of the treaty was that if you sign a treaty with a country, you as a normal person ain't going to know what the hell was in that treaty. But we, in promos, you got to listen to the promos, we let out parts of the treaty, like the championship advantage, you know what I'm saying, which AJ used to give Drew that one shot when he kept getting beat up by Drew. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's his advantage. It was his call, because we had that in the treaty, you know what I'm saying, to help us. Duchess of Queensberry, that's the best way I can put it.
Okay, so part of the treaty was he could offer title shots to guys that didn't make the weight limit.
Basically, in the treaty, like, again, you know, we had this whole thing called the championship advantage. The champions could dictate what kind of match it was. We actually hinted at that 2 weeks before the Drew Adler thing, when Kyle Matthews said he would make his match 30 minutes, when the TV titles always – I mean, we were putting little subtle hints in there for weeks at a time that this shit can do this and this can do this. I mean, and at any time we can all – I mean, that was one of the clauses that we came up with, so we could get around little bits and pieces. Because that's what a good story is going to do. And that was the whole thing. It's like, and it's not that we didn't want Kyle Matthews to be the heavyweight champion. We had a completely different idea for him. We knew what we wanted to do with him, and that's what Murder did. And I thought it was a much better idea to say Kyle Matthews is the best pound-for-pound wrestler on TV than to say Kyle Matthews is the best 195-pound heavyweight champion in Georgia. That's my thought on it. So you're good.
I think to kind of answer what Murder and Josh have posed to us about why do people jump to conclusions and all that, I think it's part of that is the fact that Rampage for the longest time has been considered one of, if not the top promotion in the state. So when anybody hears a rumor or sees you guys stumble at all, people are interested and want to know what's going on. And
well,
so
yeah,
you're under
it's
a
the
different
old
kind of spotlight.
If you come at the king, you best not miss. And Rampage has been the king for quite some time. And maybe it's not the king in North Georgia. Maybe there is some promotions in Atlanta or Cornelia that's a little bit bigger. But in Middle and South Georgia, there is nothing, nothing even close to what Rampage is doing.
So, yeah. When is the next big show, Murder? I'm guessing some of these things will become a little more apparent as we approach the next bigger show that you guys are doing.
The next big show is going to be in June.
Okay. And then, of course, you got a show this Saturday where the tag titles are on the line. Miss Rachel and Allie have a confrontation. AJ has issued an open challenge, I believe.
Yep. Now, y'all want to talk about something hot? Now, let's talk about these two chicks fighting. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Miss Allie slapped Rachel. Then she dissed her 1 week, and then the third, and then in the next week she's going to do something crazy. You'll see, man. And then I'm going to tell you this. I mean, I might get in trouble for it, but hey. And the cameraman, in one camera shoot, saved us on this one because two titties popped out.
You cannot cut away. You cannot cut away if you just got one camera.
You got two titties that popped out.
Now, is that
and two
well,
professionals
we'll find
that
out.
Covered them up. Spoiler alert, titties pop out.
is it your position, no murder, is it your position now that
the changes are over with, you know what you've got to work with, and that you're going in a direction.
Yes. I just had to go with the loss of Hot Light Lava. I had to take a side. I had to take a back road to get to where I needed, where I was planning on being in the long run.
Well, and not only that, he lost Hot Light Lava. He lost Corey Hollis and he lost Adonis all within a month of each other. Those are four huge blows.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You take, and again, I don't, no disrespect to any other promotion, but you take half of the exotic ones from Peach State, or you take half of the elite from Anarchy, and tell me that those guys can fix that booking within 2 weeks. And I'll say that they should be working for WWE or TNA. That plain and simple.
Wow. You got more shit to say than I do.
I'm just saying, like, I mean,
no,
it is what it
good.
Is.
Go ahead. This is your first time doing something like this, so get it all out.
So. It's just, Josh, he had there was a lot of curveballs thrown, and you know, it's just, it was a lot of curveballs. That's all there is to it. And everybody's harping on Rampage is dead, and Rampage is this, and it's like, okay, maybe, I called him the day after I saw that TV episode, because I sent Goodman a message, too. I was like, dude, are you okay, man? Are you feeling all right? Like, and he's like, what is it? Like, man, the TV, I told him, I was like, I don't like it. Like, I didn't like it. It just didn't feel right. But it's the one-camera shoot. The more I watch it again, it's the one-camera shoot. And me, as someone who's been trained to do TV editing, it makes it just seem so much more blasé. And it really just, and it hurts my heart that they had to go to the one-camera shoot, but it is what it is, and he's making do with what it is.
Well, Josh,
and that is from my spokesman, Josh Wheeler.
Josh, on screen, you were attacked by the Blacklist, and that's why you're no longer on Rampage TV. Will you be back in Rampage, or are you actually gone?
I don't
that is classified.
Live in the state
that is
anymore.
Classified. That is classified. Shut up.
I don't live in Georgia anymore, so...
They're trying to bait you. They're trying to bait you. That's classified
information.
I'm going
to answer the question. And for me to get to Georgia on the weekends is not in the question right now.
Okay.
And as long as Ben Masters is in the locker room, I won't be there.
Okay.
Celebrity death fight.
That's clear.
Yeah, you know what? Y'all should have Ben on.
Well,
yeah, have
well,
Ben on. That'll be a nice five-minute conversation.
I'll say this. People talk a lot of shit about Ben, but you know what? I'll say this. We in America. In my book, you're innocent until proven guilty. Now, if he was gonna make the move, like somebody say, he had every opportunity to make the move with all these bullshit rumors going around. The Rampage is dead, and there's a zombie under the ring, and you know what I'm saying? When you come to watch Rampage Wrestling, you might get Hep C or something. You know, all those bullshit rumors y'all talking about. Well, you know what I'm saying? And I just chalk it up to that. Because if he make his move and he do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like I said, I talk to Ben at least 3 times a week. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we had some communication issues, you know what I mean? But to me, they worked out. Now, if he's Cobra Commander and he got a secret plan, then he just, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'm a grown man, shit. And you do what you do. If I'm not the right fit for Rampage, then, you know, don't sugarcoat it. But, like I said, when I talk to Doc, and everything is good. You know what I'm saying? And if he go, you know, not saying that he is, not feeding into what y'all saying, but... You know, if there's deception in the ranks and if there's a snake in the hay or whatever the fuck y'all say, then announce yourself. Shit.
Well,
guys,
he
has been there a long time, Murder. Is there a particular reason or is it just not his desire to be the head, you know, to be in your role?
I'm sure he had the opportunity before Doc gave it to me.
Hey guys, we have a caller. I'm not sure who it is, but
oh hell!
All right, you're on with Georgia Wrestling now. Who is this?
This is Jerry Palmer.
Oh, Jerry again.
I just have one question. I couldn't resist. I know you've done heard enough of me, but I have one question. Is there any way in the world I can get that single camera episode we were talking about a few minutes ago? Can I get that in Cornelia?
Oh,
I heard two titties popped out.
I'll get my dude on it and I'll get my copy of it and I'll make sure I get you one. Because like I said, man, it happened so fast. It happened so fast. Bobby Moore and Steve Starrs, they got the fastest hands in the business, boy. Cause
wow.
Everybody looked at the monitor. They said, is that a titty?
I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. I texted Larry with that question. I said, please ask Murder, can I get that episode in for Nia? And I was like, no, I got to call and ask that one personally. And, Josh, I didn't know you were on there earlier, man. I did not speak to you, and it's because I didn't know, and I was on a roll and didn't.
Oh, you're good, Jerry. Yeah, I was on.
It's been a great show. I've enjoyed this too. Yeah, I had to give you that, Helen. So, hey, if I can get that in Cornelius, just let me know where I, you know, Internet, Cornelius, and we'll get the cable company involved, whatever we got to do. We'll get DirecTV would be nice. I mean, you know, especially with the two you were talking about. But, hey, in regards to rosters, I tell you, man, it ain't just y'all. It's everybody. There are more guys, and it's different reasons, but people leaving and moving and different stuff, it's widespread. You guys have been hit unusually hard by it, but you just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you know this business, you keep doing what you're doing, and y'all come out smelling like a rose, and you're dead right. Josh, you said a while ago. And I've said it for the entire time I've been involved in this. When you're on the top, maybe one place to go, brother.
Yep.
You gotta be vigilant on that all the time. And believe me, you know it can be a short fall or a long one depending on how you react to it. And you guys are reacting fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's a great show. You got great talent, and just keep
and
doing what you're doing.
And
you know me, Jerry. I don't shake. I don't shake easy. You know what I'm saying? I don't, man.
I mean, you've been doing this for a couple of days.
I've been wrestling for 300 years, man. I've been through worse.
Hey, and I missed something that we'll all agree on this most assuredly is, you know, two things. It's funny how, you know, when we have all, and the three of us have been in conflict before together, but, you know, we worked through it because we realized we're all doing the same thing. And it just reinforces what my piece was about is this can be done if it's done for the good of professional wrestling and not for the good of an individual. This can all be worked through. But one thing I should have said right out of the top, if Brian Casanova is listening, our hearts are with this guy. I know you all know kind of what's going on with Brian.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he listens to anything, you know, he needs to know that everybody that's ever worked around him or near him or with him knows what a class act he is and the things he's going through right now, no human should have to go through, and our hearts are filled with this guy. All successes we're all having are real pale in the struggle that boy's going through right now, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck, and I hope the good Lord shines on him and gives him the relief from this that he's going to need. So, but again, Josh, I didn't get to speak to you a while ago. I honestly didn't know he was on there. Good to hear from you, man. I'm going to get out of here. But, Murder, let me know. You've got the same number I've always had. Let me know where I pick up that episode.
I got you, bro.
And we'll get together. All right, you guys have a great night, and thanks again.
Peace. All right, thank you. Well, guys, we kind of need to wrap things up. We've gone way over our normal time. But do either of you have anything else you want to add about the current state of Rampage or anything else for that matter?
Current state of Rampage is straight. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it sounds like you got everything under control. And
but, okay, I just want to say this before we close out, okay? And you listen good, too, Larry, now.
I'm listening.
You have problems. My email has not changed in 10,000 years. Hit me up first, you know what I'm saying? Before you know, if you hear a rumor, hit me up. And I will tell you, because, you know, I don't care. I will tell you the truth. And, Larry, stop saying suspend your belief on stuff, man, because Jonathan runs a show that promotes dead wrestlers, so you believe that you suspend your belief to believe that Kerry Von Erich is wrestling with a rotten wooden foot?
Yeah, I got to see Kerry Von Erich wrestle live with that wooden foot. So, yeah, okay. Okay.
But then the zombie version in the rotten foot. He had, like, two toes on it. Some balls. I'm just, you know.
Fair enough.
Thank you. See, and this was diplomatic Uno talking, you know what I'm saying? I didn't cuss that much. I didn't yell.
I don't even know this guy. Was not the Uno that co-hosted with me at the time, too.
Y'all booked on the show the booker. So, you know, so next time you want to book Murder One, I'll cut loose. You know what I mean? You got to give me something to cut loose about.
We might have talked to manslaughter tonight. Just putting Murder One.
No, this is just domestic violence you're speaking with right now.
Hey, if I could get a chicken head reference in before we get off here, because I know Murder has a soft spot in his heart for the Chicken Man. If you look at Saw Wrestling this week, it's the show is up on GWH News. Chicken Head makes his television debut. They bring him on. They bring him on.
I'm going to look that up. I love me some Chicken Man.
You might even see the Washington Bullets walk out there with some tights.
For real? I like the Washington Bullets.
I heard
the thing. See, but you got to see it firsthand. You know, you can't believe the internet.
Right. That's right.
But you certainly not can believe anything Murder One says on Twitter.
Please. Now I'm getting ready to go in here and watch my people, Michigan, go blue.
Man, how is that your people
in.
All of a sudden? I hear
say
Eagles out of you. Now Michigan is your people. Now how is this? What is that about?
Man, you don't even talk to me enough about college to know that Michigan is my college of choice.
You just make stuff up, Murder One.
You make stuff up.
So,
Let me tell you this.
You know my
Matt Hankins,
not your point,
Matt Hankins is a black dude. Now, we had a street fight to do, and him and his whole crew came dressed like a bunch of damn country singers. They look like a group of cowboy Troys. And they was trying to want me to take them serious. Niggas with cowboy boots. Come on, man.
You can bet what
y'all was channeling Ron Simmons and Butch Reed, wasn't you?
All the boots were mine. All the boots belong to me. So, yeah.
So you got 49 pair of cowboy boots.
I do. And my white mama is in the house right now cooking me roast. So you
cooking you a roast?
You bet up on that. Yes.
I don't know. I got experience with white women. They can't cook.
Hey,
oh.
That's your problem. Mine was married to a black man for 30 years, so I'm good.
Oh, okay, then she's programmed right. Then I bet she can make a hell of a chicken. I bet she make a pot pie from scratch, won't she?
Well, I'm gonna bring you through one day, Murder. You're gonna get to come sit with me at the compound.
The house will never be the same. I'll bring the spirits.
I know you will.
We all need to go out one day and cause some trouble.
Murder and Josh, I appreciate you guys calling in and clearing some things up about Rampage.
Hey, Jonathan, book me. I want to be Bad News Brown on your show.
Well,
I'll do it. I'll put on a little black bra and ghetto kick the hell out of everybody.
I guess we need to get Roddy Piper there.
Okay. I don't know. You can get that Clint Eller guy to be Roddy Piper.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that another time.
Until then, thank you for tuning in to the Phone It In reunion for April.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for calling. We kind of glossed over. Anarchy has a show, first one since Hardcore Hell, I believe, this Saturday. We did mention Rampage is back this Sunday. There's a few other shows. Any in particular, Larry, that we need to mention? Oh, there's NWA Atlanta has its War Games on Saturday as well.
DSCW will be in Blue Ridge once again on Saturday.
So, we didn't talk much about the upcoming events like we usually do, but there you go. There's a lot of upcoming wrestling events this weekend. So, go check it all out. Thanks to Jerry Palmer. And next week, we've got... Who do we have next week? The Jagged Edge and Hot Commodity. Tommy Pinarelli and... what is he going by now? They both...
CB Suave.
CB Suave.
Right. So that should be an interesting show. So, and it won't be a two-hour show again, hopefully. But I think we had people that had a lot of things that needed to be said, so hopefully we got it all out. And we'll see how everything plays out. But listen again next Monday at 7. And thanks, Larry, for being part of the show tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for letting me on.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.